Amen and amen. The change in me. So again, that was my backup song. That was the one I was going to go with. But the first song that I was trying, that was actually a really good song. It was on YouTube, and that's when I went to the site to look at it and see that YouTube took it off because saying something about community standards, which I kind of find kind of odd, unless somebody, whoever posted that, was apparently, I guess they didn't have permission or whatever. So, you know, something like what my wife was talking about last night after our Bible study when we was getting something to eat. You know, it's starting to get to the point where social media in general is starting to clamp down on Christianity. So, folks, you know, again, you know, I don't want to get into all those end time event stuff and the end of world stuff or whatever, but it's getting to the point, you know, more and more, as I kind of mentioned last night, about the hatred towards Christians is growing really extraordinary. It's growing in leaps and bounds. So those of us, you who are here tonight, who is a Christian, we are starting to experience the world hate. And people are starting to hate Jesus. They're starting to hate God. So that's why they are systematically taking everything down. So unfortunately, you know, I don't know what the deal was with the song. Again, maybe they didn't have the copyright or something. But, you know, whenever you see a message about community standards, it generally means it didn't meet their approval. So can y'all hear me okay? Make sure that everything is going okay. Because we had a little technical glitch last night. We kind of had one today. So loud and clear. You know, everything's smooth like it normally is supposed to be. Before I go any further, if I got to mess with something. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. We have a newcomer here tonight. And please forgive me if I chop your name up because sometimes it's hard to pronounce these names that you see online. But Demetra, I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. But again, welcome. I'm glad that you are here. It's good to see new people joining our community because, again, you know, we're trying to do our best to offer a place for people to gather, you know. And as I said earlier, I went to visit a few sites that I've been going to a long time ago. They're basically non-existent. So, again, welcome. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see the rest of you. It is Friday night, and it's now time for a sermon, as I always do. So I'm glad to see your smiling faces, because I know y'all smiling back there. So, and probably sipping on some ice cream or sippy cups or eating on some chicken, as Fred said he was doing earlier. So, you know, I'm going to be eating a little bit later on after this too. But those of you who has been in my previous sermons that we've been doing here, if you remember that I've spoken to y'all on attitudes, behavior, and character, and I explain why these three traits are so important to see if we're the real deal or not. Okay, yeah. All right, I'll try to pronounce it better next time. But anyway, I was trying to illustrate to us that, you know, these three traits, the attitudes, the behavior, and the character, they're very important to see if we are the real deal or not, to see if we are what we claim to be, to see if we are living for Jesus and being led by the Holy Spirit himself. That's why, again, I was trying to focus us on those areas, and I hope that you kind of looked at some of these things that I have mentioned. I hope that you took the time to do self-examination to see if you needed improvement in these areas of your Christian life. And look, folks, yes, I am a pastor, preacher, minister, whatever you want to call it, evangelist, but I do self-examine my own self. And when I do find there are issues or some flaws, then I address them, then I make changes. So this is kind of what the message is going to be about tonight. So again, I hope that you did take time in the last three messages to do a little self-examination and see if there are needs for improvements or if there are needs to change or if something has to be changed. You know, I'm hope that you are doing this. You know, again, my job is not to convict. My job is just to present the message led to me by the Holy Spirit himself. So whenever he directs me into an area that I go into, folks, sometimes it's meant for me. Sometimes it may be meant for you, or it sometimes is meant for our online listeners. Now, the reason why I'm saying about our attitudes of behavior and character, and the reason why I'm going to be talking about changes, look, folks, remember this. We, you and I, live in a world that can easily mold us into its image if we allow it to happen and if we are not what we claim to be. You know, many people claim to be Christians, but a lot of times they are not true Christians. So a lot of times the mold or the world generally molds them into their image. And that's why you see so many go on the wayside. Folks, once again, the question we need to ask, we need to ask this question a lot. You know, I call it the brass tacks questions. Do you or I, and this is mainly aimed at me too, so this is generally for all of us, do we have a real effect to those around us for them to see Jesus? Do we have that effect? Or are we demonstrating something else? If not, it starts with the ABCs, as I just said. And then we need to do something. And if we're not really demonstrating what we claim to be, folks, look, listen to this carefully. If we're not demonstrating what we claim to be, and that's why, again, I said you need to ask that question, you know, do I have a real effect around those who are around me by showing them Jesus? And, you know, that's why I said we got to look at our attitudes. We got to look at our behaviors. We got to look at our characters. You know, I call it ABCs. If not, then we need to do something. You and I need to do something that is very uncomfortable for us. And most of you, when you hear this word, you might cringe in your seats a little bit. And if I was preaching this in the church, you know, generally when I'm looking on the pulpit, I'm looking out, I can see body actions. I can see reactions. I can see people when they kind of squirm in their seats. They kind of start looking around. They kind of start looking down their toes or whatever when I start hitting on particular topics, because I know they are somehow either being called out or they're being convicted. But there's something that we got to do if our attitudes, our behavior, and character is not matching up or lining up with Jesus. And it's something that we got to do that we are not very comfortable doing. And that is for us to change. That's right, folks. We need to change. And yes, folks, it can be intimidating and it can be challenging for us because the very nature of what the word means. And when you look at the word change, it means to become of or make different. And when we made a decision to follow Jesus, we are different. That's right, folks. Pay attention. When you made a decision to follow Jesus, as I mentioned a little bit last night in our Bible studies, you, my friends, are different. And therefore, the world's going to hate you. It will. Trust me. Jesus said it. That's what the lesson was about last night. But we are different because why? Well, we are no longer part of this world. Yes, we are in it, but we are not part of it. Not no more. We are no longer part of this world. And friends, because of that, we, you and I, we need to show Jesus what he really is for others to see. We need to demonstrate Jesus for people out there to see. And if you can recall and remember, many of you who has been in these sermons, you know what I've been saying a lot of times in the past. You are a book. And people are watching you. They're watching you on the things that you say, the things that you do, the things that you listen to, the things that you may watch, you know, whatever. Your friends, your family, your church members, whatever. They are watching you like a hawk. Well, if Lisa claims she's a Christian, by golly, I better see some fruits coming out of that tree. Because if she claims she's an apple tree, but yet she's producing kumquats, then she ain't what she claims to be. Sorry, Lisa, but I had to use somebody as an illustration. But you get what I'm saying? Because, again, if I'm saying that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I'm not showing the proper fruits to the world to see, then I'm not what I claim to be. And if I'm not what I claim to be, then I got to change. You can't make me change. No one can make me change except God himself. But I have to be lined up with the Holy Spirit in order for that to happen. I have to be. And if I am what I claim to be and I'm true to myself and honest in the questions I do ask myself and I see that I have been in error, then I got to change. Because, folks, if we walk, talk, act, and live like everyone else in the world and not change while we make the claim to be followers of Christ, would that attract people to Jesus? If I was a follower of Christ and I claim to be a follower of Christ, but I still act like the world, would that attract people to Jesus? If you're honest with yourself, the answer should be no. But there are some in the world who claims to be Jesus, but they act like the world, but they are drawing people in. Because again, the Bible's very clear. Be wary, be careful, many deceivers will come in my name and deceive even the elect. So there are people out there claiming to be Jesus, but they're still acting like the world, but they are attracting those kind of people. If you're true like me and the rest of us, if we stand firm in our faith, the world is going to hate us. And what we represent is not going to be attractive to them because, again, it calls them out on their sins. So that's why I said the answer would be no if I claim to be a follower of Christ but act like the world. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. And our dear friend Lisa, she posts the scriptures for us. So it's right there on the screen for you. But if you still want to look in your Bible, hey, that's okay. Look what the scripture says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we ask of you for this little time that we have gathered together because, again, you know, Scripture says when two or three are gathered together, you are in the midst of them. And Father, thank thee, folks, for being here. I ask you to bless them, to be with them, protect them, watch over them, let them know that you love them very much. And yes, we do struggle. Yes, we do have hard times. Yes, we go through difficulties. But Father, please pour out your blessings to them. They came here to hear this message. They could have went done their own little thing, but they took the time to be here. And thank you for allowing us to use technology to gather together in order to present the messages laid upon my heart. I thank you for that. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for saving me from my wretched self. Again, it's a wonderful thing to be called a child of God. Father, got many people out there are hurting. They got many people that's going through difficult times. They got many people that just seem like they're going bonkers. But again, I ask of you to present Jesus to them. And let us, if we have to make changes, then let the changes occur in order for them to see Jesus. And Father, we thank you very much. We love you. We love you with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls. In Jesus' name we pray to you. Amen. And y'all been seeing the title of this message, my friends. The bot flashes over. That's how I have it set up. So that way, you know, when people do come in the room, they can see, ooh, that sounds like a good little message I need to hear. So the title of this message tonight is Change. One word, change. But that one word is a big, big impact. So in our message tonight, my friends, we're going to look at three areas of change that I think that each of us needs to focus our life on. And that, this is personal to me. You know, because I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to brag, because I'm not the bragging type. I don't want to be. I'd rather boast on Jesus, not me. But I have changed. If you've been paying particular attention to me in the last almost 2 years while we've been doing this little chat study, you have seen me change. And there's a reason for that. And that's why I'm covering this tonight. So, again, these changes need to be considered because they will have an effect not only on ourselves, but on those who are around us for all eternity. That's right. Whatever you claim to be, however you are acting or doing or whatever, folks, you do have an impact with people that's around you and that's watching you. Whether it be in this chat, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be at your home, whether it be in a place of worship, but you do have influences on people. And you can, by your own actions, have them changed. But we need to demonstrate the proper actions in order for them to see the change, for them to change. So the first thing we must do, change your mind. That's right, folks. For us to change, we must change our mind. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says this. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. See, folks, as we dig into this passage right here, we see that Peter loves and cares for his readers to a point that he is urging them to listen to the counsel he is giving to them. And like Peter, we need to understand the word urge. It paints a picture of passionate pleading. And that's what he's doing. He's pleading with you with these words. He's pleading, hey, you know, you need to change. You need to change your mindsets, your thoughts, the way you think. And what's being shared here throughout this text is very, very important for many reasons. But the big appeal to the readers and to us is twofold. First, we as Christians, we are sojourners in this world, which means that we are foreign settlers who temporarily reside in a strange house. We're foreigners in this world, folks. When you became a follower of Jesus Christ, you became an alien to this world. You're a foreigner. You're no longer a natural citizen. We are now citizens in heaven. And folks, you got to remember, this world is no longer our home. It's not. We, as I just said, are now citizens of heaven. Secondly, we are called exiles. That's right, we've been exiled from our own bodies, our own place, our own town that you're in. You know, again, people still know who you are, but you're not the same person no more. You've been exiled. And this implies that we are visitors who tarry for a time in a foreign country, but who will be shortly traveling on to our true homeland, which is heaven. It may freak some people out when they hear this, when they listen to this, but yes, folks, all of us is going to die. This body will die. And that's when you'll journey here on this planet ends, but your new journey begins. Our journey home is to heaven. That's where we're destined to go, if you are born again. If you are not, and if you're listening to this, I'll plead with you later on, you need Jesus before it's too late. So where we currently reside is temporary, and why would any of us get engrossed into where we are? Why would we get engrossed into the things of this world, folks? Why should we be bothered with it? We shouldn't. Our home is now in heaven. That's where our thoughts should be. That's where my mind needs to be thinking of heaven all the time. I'm not getting engrossed into silly nonsense things of this world anymore. My only primary focus right now is trying to present Jesus to anybody and everybody that I can while I have the time and the means to do so. All this other stuff, I don't want to hear nothing about it no more. My home is in heaven. So if we're going to be different to the world, my friends, if we're going to be different to the world around us, it starts with us changing our minds. And we need to have a different mindset than this world around us. That's right. If every Christian was to become radical and start thinking of things of heaven, y'all remember when I said in my, I think it was the last sermon, if you can see yourself as God sees you, whoo, you will rise up. You will rise up. And I can't get that thought out of my head because, again, you know, if we can get a glimpse of how God sees us, we will rise up and we will forget about all these things of the world. But to help you out a little bit, look what Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says. And this should be your primary example for all of us, which says, here we go, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And the way to keep us from being conformed to this world, once we belong to Jesus, folks, look, listen to this carefully. The way we keep ourselves from being conformed to this world, we must have Jesus, but we must allow our minds to be doing three things: to be transformed, or to change the mindset of Jesus. Well, I meant three of us too. Folks, in order for us not to be conformed to this world, we got to be transformed and we got to change to the mindset of Jesus. Meaning, we got to start thinking like Jesus does. No longer of ourselves or what we think is right or wrong. We must thank Jesus. Here's a good explanation of this. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. Look at it. Look at it very carefully. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So all those crazy thoughts, all those things we're thinking about, all the things we're trying to get engrossed in into this world, you need to take those things captive and you need to do what I do every day, and I pray this constantly all the time. Lord, help me focus on you. Help me focus on heavenly things. Help me take my thoughts captive. Don't let me get engrossed to crazy thoughts. I'm staying away from that. I need to be more focused on you because now I want you to help me understand what do you want me to do. And this should be us all the time. We should be taking every thought captive to obey Jesus is the ultimate for us. It takes to do that, to captivate those thoughts, to take those thoughts under control, to cast those thoughts aside. Look, folks, it takes discipline, serious discipline. And if you're not serious in your discipline, I suggest you go find out why. But again, it takes what I call hardcore discipline. This is what I apply to myself. So whether you want to or not, that's up to you. But it takes prayer. It takes practice and perseverance, the three P's. Prayer, practice, and perseverance. And you constantly must work on that to captivate all these thoughts that come at your mind. Because Satan's working at you. He's trying to get you. He's trying to do anything and everything he can to get you distracted. And to do that, again, in our passage, Peter, again, he's urging us. We're getting back to that word, urging. He's urging us to abstain. To abstain from the passions of the flesh. So if you're dabbling with things in the flesh and you allow yourself to get captivated with the things of the flesh, you allow yourself to get hooked on things and watch things and listen to things and view videos and stuff and whatever, or read materials of this or that or whatever, folks, then you're not trying hard enough to captivate those thoughts. Because you're allowing those thoughts to take control of you, and those thoughts give birth to sin. We have the power. We got the Holy Spirit. And so now it's high time that we change and said, you know what? No. No. I'm not going to listen to you today. I'm not going to watch you today. I'm not going to act this way today. I'm not going to do those things today because I got God's Holy Spirit in me. And you're not going to do that. But that takes change. But that takes discipline. And sometimes it is a hard road. Look, I've been through a life of so much ugliness and things that I can't even describe to you. But, you know, the worst of all, I was telling someone the other day, is my life of cocaine addiction. Man, I was doing a $400 a week addiction, spending all my money on that stuff. Three packs of cigarettes a day and booze and everything else and you know, even porn, what you can call all this stuff. I was a hardcore gamer. My wife can tell you, I sat on this computer almost virtually 24/7 playing games and doing all those other things. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit came in me and I became born again, I decided to make the change. I decided, said, you know what, Lord, I need you to help me overcome these things because I don't want to be conformed to this world no more and I hate it. But you got to have that desire to do it and say, yes, enough is enough. I want a new life in Christ. And that's what we are. Man, look, God gives us a way out, folks. So don't use no more excuses, because if you're using the excuses, and I speak to many AA people and many drug addicts and many other people who's in all this stuff, and I tell them, so the reason why you are not changing because you don't want to change. Folks, I'm passionate about this because that's where your help comes from. But you have to change the mindset. You have to change. And if you're into other things and other things going wrong, like, you got to make the decision. I had enough of this. I want a new life in Christ. And when I made that step and I decided to change, then God's Holy Spirit started working in me. Whew. So quit making the excuses. Well, I stumbled, Brother Jim. Oh, I stumbled, Pastor Jim. Oh, I went in. Well, you know why? Because you don't want to quit. And look, a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics and people addicted to porn and gaming and many other stuff that I deal with in counsel. Look, I came from that area. I lived that dark life. I was an underground dark web. I was a hacker. I was all those nasty things. But I decided to change. Didn't want that life no more, because the word says that we have to be transformed. And if you want to get away from all that stuff, then you got to change and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he does best, to cleanse you inside out. And that's why we got to be taking every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. That's why I call it the ultimate. And it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take practice. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to be a hard and long, drawn-out fight, and it's going to continuously be a fight till you breathe your very last, and you make that final journey home. And that's why, again, Peter means abstain. That's why he's telling us to abstain from all these things, and it means not to permit the mind to show any hospitality when such desires seek a place to stay. You see, friends, we are called constantly to hold off or to keep distance from those prompted desires instead of showing how close that we can get to. So, folks, you got to, if those things is tempting you, if those things is coming at you, if that stuff pops up on the screen or someone draws you or someone calls you or someone brings you somewhere, you just got to, no, no, no. Today I say no. Today I say no. I say no with the help of the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. That's why the next week's message is going to be about the bait of Satan, because Satan's throwing out that fishing bait. He's trying to get you. He's trying to get you to stumble. He's trying to get you to mess up. He wants to keep you condemned. Folks, we've been granted a greater power than him, and that's Jesus Christ. Use that power. But see, in biblical times, this phrase we translate, the passion of the flesh, it dealt with areas of sexual sin. And in the Bible, though the term, it was later expanded to cover other areas. So when you put together abstaining and fleshly lust, what you get is this. Listen to this carefully. We are told not to permit the mind to show any hospitality to any of the fleshly lust. Let me repeat that. We are told not to permit the mind to show any hospitality to any of the fleshly lust. We are not to allow anything that motivates sinful behavior or an opportunity to keep us residing in the mind. Yes, the transformation has to take place in the mind, but it shouldn't stay there. So we need to captivate those thoughts, but we need to think on heavenly things. And we need to walk the walk. We need to be walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25 keeps telling us to do. And yes, look, folks, please, look, hear this from me. And I'm speaking from my own experience. Sometimes those thoughts come to the mind through the prompting of Satan. Because you know why? We still have the old sinful nature within us. We went from a mold change from a sinner to a sinner saved by grace. But that old man is still in us. That old man has to be taken and put under control. And the only way to do that, you have to allow the Spirit to control it. So whoever you are submitting yourselves to, that's what's going to overrule you. Whether you're allowing yourself to submit to the flesh or to the Holy Spirit. We are in what I call the spiritual warfare. Here's the flesh, here's the spirit, but here's the mind. And they are battling for control. Who you yield that control to is the choice that you got to start making. Oh, I need that drink, Pastor. I need a drink. Oh, yeah. No, I don't need that drink because the Holy Spirit says I am clean. You see what I mean? That's the choice you got to start making. Of course, I need a drink of water. We are not to allow anything that motivates sinful behavior and opportunity that keeps residence in the mind. And like I said, sometimes those thoughts come to the mind, but that's prompting Satan himself, the whole sinful nature. They're still talking to each other. Oh, yeah, they are. But look, we can control, with the help of the Holy Spirit now, we can control whether or not they stay there. See what I'm saying? You can control whether or not they stay there. Remember I read back in 2 Corinthians 10:5? You see it right there, what it tells you to do. Destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So today, I am going to take captive of those bad thoughts. Our spirit tells us we should abstain from those thoughts. The war spoken of here is not hand-to-hand combat, folks, but rather a planned military expedition against a planned military target or an objective, a.k.a. the mind. The war is war for control of the mind. And the passions stirred by the devil are part of his carefully planned effort to thwart what God is trying to do with his people. See, Satan, I don't want to glorify him, but he's slick. He studied us for 6,000 years. He knows how to push your buttons. He knows how to dangle that little... I don't know if you ever seen those Hershey Kisses. I love them Hershey Kisses, man. I'm a diabetic, but I can't get enough of those chocolate things. And, man, you know, instead of just getting one or two or whatever, you know, I usually buy a big old bag and I start munching. And I shouldn't know better because then when I go take my sugar level, bam, it's out of the roof. But what happened? I allowed my mind to be taken in control because I wanted that chocolate. When I should have just said no, that's going to knock my sugar level up. Depends on who you yield control to, folks. That's why Satan is, he's got some good plans. He's got some good weapons against us. But this is why. This is why it's so very important that we must be transformed and led by the Holy Spirit and change the way we think. Change. Change your mind. The second thing that we must do, and I mentioned this in past few sermons, change your conduct. See, in order for the first thing to do good, you must change the second thing, your conduct. If you're not willing to change your conduct, you're going to make the first things inert. Look what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says. I love this passage. It says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, and my wife just endured that, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on a day of visitation. Here we are told to keep our conduct among the lost honorable. We must demonstrate honor to the lost. And this boils down to having a conduct that reflects the fact we are Christians. It boils down to a conduct to reflect the fact we are Christians. Now, the problem comes when one tries to have proper conduct without changing what's in their mind. The problem comes when one tries to have proper conduct without changing their mind. Matthew 23:27 says this. Look at those scriptures. And this is Jesus speaking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. Jesus really popped them good on the nose, didn't he? And this is what the Pharisees did, and Jesus compared them to whitewashed tombs that look good on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead men's bones. So if we say that we are of Jesus Christ, and then our conduct should also show it. Remember I said that earlier. You claim to be whatever you are, you should be demonstrating that. If you're not, and you're wishy-washy, or you like these whitewashed tombs, you got a problem. Better figure out what's wrong and change. See, the word for honorable means not only good, but lovely, fine, attractive, winsome. We are being asked to make our way of life so lovely, so fair, that it will positively attract admiration from those around us. If you are claiming to be what you are claiming to be, and we see that many times when I see it, I admire that. Because that only gives me inspiration to strive to be more like Christ. Because if that person can change, because I knew how that person was, but yet I see the change, then it only drives me to do better. Because I'm going to use me. And a couple of y'all know it. If old Jimbo here can change, then you can change. And this was a good quote. It kind of struck me to my core. It has been said, the best argument for Christianity is real Christians. The best argument for Christianity is real Christians. But on the other side, the worst argument for Christianity can be Christians. Wow. We are all advertisements for Jesus, all of us. We're like a walking billboard for all to see. So, are you the real deal? Or are you something else? And this is the question you need to ask yourself. You don't have to give answers here, but you need to write this down. You need to go into your little prayer closet, however it may be, your little quiet time, however. But you need to ask yourself this question and be serious about it. Do people want the Jesus I represent? Do people want the Jesus I represent? We ought to hold up and exemplify an attractive lifestyle in Christ. And in doing so, folks, we are given three reasons to keep our conduct honorable. And for us to maintain excellent behavior, they are: one, that we are strangers and aliens to this world; two, fleshly desires are not good for our soul; and three, the influence for good we can have on the world around us. If we act and react as those in the world do, listen to this. If we act and react as those in the world do, we will not really reflect the God we truly serve. Harsh reality. A wake-up call. Because if we react and act the way the world is, we're not reflecting the God we claim to follow. You see, being like everyone else around us is not going to attract people to God. It won't. You know, I don't want to get off track, but you know, whenever someone's dealing with alcoholism, okay, the best way for them is not to be around it. But then when you take them to a barroom, guess where you put them at? A drug addict trying to get clean should stay away from all drug activity. You bring them to a crack house, guess what's going to happen? Person's dealing with pornography and everything else. Well, if you give them free reins of the computer and encourage them to do it, guess what? See, folks, being like everyone else is not going to help us attract other people to God. You got to change. You got to be transformed. You got to be renewed. And this is why, again, we are told to keep our conduct honorable so that when we get accused, listen to this, when you get accused of doing evil doing, our actions will show the falsehoods not to be true. So when we are accused of doing wrong, but yet our actions are honorable and they are of God, it's going to show them wrong. Eventually, it's going to catch up to them. You remember what I said when I started this message? This is personal to me because I experienced it. Many of you know, I've been attacked because of this chat room. People came at me, said things about me, said untruths about me, lies, and caused discord. I stood on the grounds of Jesus. That's where my faith was at. They accused me of many things. Where are they now? Where are they? See, they were called out. Because it would show the falsehoods not to be true. See, even the early church, it faced a lot of rumors concerning their behaviors. They were accused of many things because of their meetings at night. They were accused of being cannibals because of the Lord's Supper. And a whole host of many other things. Even in Rome itself, Nero was able to use this to his advantage when he made Christians scapegoats as he tried to shift the blame for the burning of Rome from himself to someone else. He blamed Christians. And Peter says that the world will not understand Christians because, again, Peter's right. The world will not understand you and I. I have some people call me, man, you must be crazy. You must have lost your ever-loving mind. You must be on drugs. Yeah, I'm on drugs. I'm on the drug of the Holy Spirit himself. That's why I'm crazy. That's why I'm radical. I have changed. What about you? See, the best way to change all those minds is by maintaining excellent behavior throughout your changes. And y'all heard me say this a lot. You never fail in God's school, but should never give you an excuse to keep on sinning. Because if you keep sinning and 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 keep sinning, oh, Pastor Jim, I sinned again. Oh, Pastor Jim, I sinned again. Oh, Pastor Jim, I sinned again. You know what? Sometimes when I sit in my office or sit here in this room, when I counsel people, sometimes I counsel you here on this chat. You know what I would love to do when I hear that? Oh, wake up. You keep sinning because you want to. You don't want to quit. So don't feed me that malarkey. You keep sinning because you don't want to change. You love that sin more than you love Christ. Sorry, but I preach it as it is. That's the truth. When you realize that, you know what, I have to stop this. And you're going to have to fight through all that. It's going to be a long, drawn-out battle. But quit. 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 Like the old cliche, doc, my arm hurts. Every time, you know, I do this, it hurts. He said, well, what do you do? Well, I do this and it hurts. Well, the doc says, well, quit. And then stop hurting. That simple. See, that's how I realized the power of the Holy Spirit when I was sitting one day in my pastor's office and telling him his name was Brother Jim, too. Brother Jim, man, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. He said, well, what? I said, a lot of things. It's been a year. It seemed like nothing's changed. He said, Jim, all you got to do is decide. And I said, no way. No way. Can't be that simple. He said, yes, it is. You have to make a decision. You have to decide. You have to change. And that's when I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's like the scale of my eyes lifted off and went to the ceiling and I realized the truth. It's just a matter of choice. Today, I choose not to sin. Today, I choose not to sin. Today, I'm allowing change to take place. So let us conclude by understanding that if we change our minds and conduct, which means we are changing our world, then we can do what we're about to learn next. The third thing that we must do. Most important, the third thing we must do, change their world. Huh? Wait a minute. Didn't you just say this? Yeah. But on top of that, we must change their world. Again, back to Matthew 23:27. Great passage. That's why it's being used twice. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but hey, within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. Change their world, folks. And an important note right here. Very important. When the world sees we are not hypocrites, they well, quit accusing us of being one. When the world sees that you and I are not hypocrites, they will quit accusing us of being one. When they see the church caring for them, they will say, we're not just about money. When they see real faith and action exhibited in the world, it will win a lot of hearts. People want to believe. They just need to see it first in us. That's right. They want to believe, but they need to see it first in you. Are you living what you claim that you are living? Are you doing what you claim you are doing? Are you living that righteous life? You see, they're looking to see if you change first. And if you're still doing things of the world, then that's not helping them. That's not helping them. Our actions will outweigh false views. So instead of listening to rumors, those without Jesus will see your conduct and will see your true heart. Here's the progression of thought. This is me. This is an extra add-on I did yesterday. Here's the progression of thought. The lost people were slandering the Christians as evildoers. The good deeds of the Christians would prove these accusations to be untrue. Then the good lives and the hearts of the Christians would convict the lost of their sins and slandered along with other need for Jesus. Sometimes all it takes is just your right attitude, your right behavior, your right character to convict them, to show them the need for Jesus. Sometimes that's all it takes. And finally, the lost will become converted to Christ. And then they will glorify God in the process. Because being saved would allow them to truly glorify God at his return. And Peter specifies the times when the Gentiles themselves will glorify God as the day of visitation. See 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Again, another repeat verse. It's still on screen, but there it is for you. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Now, to help you understand what that's meaning, Peter himself, he was teaching that when the grace of God visits the hearts of an unbeliever, he or she will respond in a saving faith and glorify God because he or she remembers the testimony of the believers he or she has seen. Now, those who do not believe, they will experience the visitation of God's wrath in the final judgment. Final judgment awaits them because, again, that's what the visitation is all about. Those who do not believe, they're going to experience God's wrath in the final visitation. And needless to say, our life will have the effect of lives of others for or against Jesus. Again, let me reiterate this. Your life and how you conduct yourself will have an effect for or against Jesus. They will see it and believe or reject it and be subject to the wrath of God. I know we're running a little late. I'm sorry for this. But in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. How does Jesus change us? How does Jesus change us? You could throw out some answers if you want, but you know, again, I'm just doing this to get you to think, how does Jesus change us? Or how does he change you? You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not improve us a little. It does not. Rather, he brings us radically, listen to this, he brings us radically from death into life. Now, most important, why do we need to change? Why do all y'all here tonight, and those of you who's listening to this message, why do you need to change? Me? This is my response. I wrote it here. The most important reason is this. I'm speaking from my own experience. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to you. You now have God's power living in you. The Holy Spirit helps you have faith and compassion. The Holy Spirit convicts you of right and wrong and gives you the power to resist temptation and make choices to glorify God. But we must first change and allow Him to change us inside out. Inside out. Change. Again, my friends, I say change. Again, I tell you, change. Or are we going to sit back and allow people to drown in their sins while we do our own thing by refusing to change? Or do we love them enough to allow Jesus to make a real difference in our lives? Do we? God's word says it best right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And this is another one of my favorites. I used to brag on this verse a lot. My wife, she used to make fun of me when I used to change the wording here a little bit. Because in some translations, I will tell you about it. But again, here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Some translation says creature. And that's when I heard it, creature. I'm not a creature. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. But in the Greek, it means the same. You have to look at the wording. But look what it says. The old has passed away. And behold, a new has come. Your old man died. The new man in you was born again. His Holy Spirit. And folks, those of you who are true to God, true to His Spirit, this means that Christians will undergo a complete transformation. I did. They will be changed. And this transformation is a miraculous work of God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle done on the inside, which begins to reveal a study and a steady change of our behavior on the outside because what's being transformed on the inside. Old things has passed away. Behold, all things new. And last but not least, has Jesus really changed your life? Do you want Him to change your life? And those of you who's listening to this, if you don't know Jesus, what's stopping you from asking Jesus into your heart? What's stopping you? If you've been chasing all the wrong things and all the wrong places, then I'm telling you, you are looking in the wrong places. It's time to look to Jesus and allow Him to change you. And those who said yes, I'm going to ask you the question, are you really a new creation in Christ? Are you? Are you willing to let Him change you? Are you willing to let Him do all those things? Are you willing to let Him in? Are you willing to let Him transform you? Are you willing to let Him change you? Are you willing to submit to Him? I don't care how hard your fight is going to be, are you willing? And you're going to have to say, and you're going to have to dig down, and yes, Lord, I got problems, I got issues, I got faults, I got all these things happen to me, but I need you to change me, help me. But you got to make the decision and say, you know what, but I have to change first with your help. I need your help. But we got to take these thoughts captive so I don't get caught up in the sins. And resist, flee, run. When those sinful things come at you, resist them. You know what helped me a lot? You know what helped me a lot when I was struggling through all those things? Every time one of those fleshly desires and urges came, I went to the Word. I went to the Word. Held it close. Started reading. When porn would come into my mind, I went to the Word. Started reading. When other fleshly desires came to mind, I started reading. When thoughts of drugs came to my mind, I started reading. Booze. You name it. When those desires came, I started reading. I went to the Word every time. Every time. Every time. Every time. And would you know it? Those things went away. Those thoughts went away. And it was hard. It was difficult. It was a struggle. Every day. Every day. Every day. Lord, be with me. Lord, be with me. Oh, be with me. Be with me. Help me. Help me fight. Are you willing to let Him change you? Are you willing? You decide. Which will it be? Which will it be? You decide. Amen. Let's pray.